This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Good afternoon, Internet.
You are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair. I am one of the co-directors of Food Book Fair, as well as your co-host for Recommended Reading. I'm Amanda Dell.
I'm Kimberly Chow. We're about to head to LA for the very first Food Book Fair, Los Angeles.
Very exciting.
March 2nd through 4th. But we're really excited, first of all, to be broadcasting live today, as we always do, from the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. We're going to talk about what we're reading, watching, and listening to, and really psyched to have the founder of Well Read Black Girl, one of the most amazing book clubs we know in real life and online, Glory Adam, with us in studio. Welcome, Glory.
Hello.
Welcome. It's like we have a super ultra recommender on
today's
show.
We have an ultra recommender here today. We can't wait to get into what she recommends. But first, we're going to talk between ourselves, Amanda and I, about what we are reading, watching, and listening to, which we think is going to be really a lot of what anybody is watching these days. Amanda.
Totally. Before we get into that for 1 second, just wanted to, again, throw it back to the fact that we will be in LA March 2nd to the 4th. We have an incredible lineup of events, many of which are free with RSVP. So definitely head over to foodbookfair.com and check out what we have going on for our very first Food Book Fair Los Angeles. We can't wait to be in the sunshine and drive around.
In the meantime, this was scurrying around in Brooklyn during the rain, but totally worthwhile because I know what you saw yesterday. I know what I saw together.
Our first actual team Food Book Fair going to the movies, our first field trip, and we saw Black Panther.
Who didn't see Black Panther this weekend?
I know. I've been experiencing severe FOMO. Since we only saw it yesterday, which was Monday, and everyone was talking about it all weekend. So.
I'm so deep in my feelings about Killmonger.
Yes. And also, just want to...
I haven't even read the cultural criticism and the essays and the think pieces about it yet.
We'll get there.
Still processing.
Also, just wanted to say what a great suggestion that Kim had to see it at BAM. The juxtaposition of seeing like a brand new, very futuristic in a way... blockbuster movie in an old theater was really unique. And I loved it. And I think the crowd, there was some great crowd participation, that I was really vibing on. And also I wanted to give a shout out for BAM because for movies, they have actual ushers that help people find a seat. And I love that. It didn't feel like every person for themselves. It felt like you were really going to an experience. So I think that just added to the hype of Black Panther that delivered.
The veteran hospitality person in the house speaking.
Right? Yes, I know. Sorry, nerd alert. That was something I noticed. I was just like, yes, help these people find their one seat in between these other people so we can all enjoy this movie.
You got to be able to see the movie past all the columns that they have in this old
that's
space.
True, and feel taken care of. But wow.
You saw past the columns. What did you think of the movie?
I was completely enthralled by it, which is a difficult sometimes for me to be lost in a movie. There were factors that would contribute to the fact that I would be a movie that I would never ordinarily see. One, it's an action movie, not my genre. Anything that is like computer generated, like spaceships, like going in and out of places is like, nope, sorry, not something I would want to see.
Yeah.
Anything that is like about like fighting or like diabolical forces, like matched, you know, against each other. I don't know. But I couldn't wait to see it, and it really delivered. I felt like visually it was a feast for the eyes in many different ways. And I don't think, I mean, aside from the costumes, the actors, the actresses, but also just how beautiful a lot of the landscapes were, and also the even things like they're just showing the city of Wakanda and like showing the trains and all of their infrastructure, I found beautiful.
It's all vibranium.
Right, the vibranium. I was like, I thought this joke was funny, so I'll just say it quickly again. I said to Kim when we were watching the movie, like, the MTA needs vibranium. Like, how their train in Wakanda is running really, really on time.
Those trains are on time.
And we need that here. So if there's any extra vibranium around, please give it to the MTA. Well, what did you think?
I loved it. I mean, I have some feelings about it that I'm still processing. I think it's really radical in a lot of ways. I think, first of all, I think it's important for everybody to see a superhero movie that does not star white people. I think that also says something about what we are used to from Hollywood, that seems radical. And also, because it's a Marvel superhero movie, there are so many strong women in this film, but they also still are in a framework where men are at the center. And I have some feelings about that.
I agree with that.
I think all the actors are really great. Sterling K. Brown could make me cry at anything, just like alternating single tears of woe about, like, he could be reading from the phone book. His role is really amazing. Michael B. Jordan's amazing. Lupita Nyong'o, Chadwick Boseman, Angela Bassett.
Yeah, and I think just the drama of it. I think that's also what I don't like about action movies. It's like, I don't like the drama and like the heart palpitations.
Both Amanda and I are high anxiety people. So anything that involves ritual battle, we're like, even when you know the ritual's coming, we're like, fuck!
And then when we had like the second round of... Oh, actually, I'm not going to give it away.
Don't give it away.
I won't
don't
give it away. But
go see it.
Yeah.
Go see it. Support this movie. Support Ryan Coogler. See this movie.
Support that Ryan Coogler. Yes, definitely. We want many more movies.
So that's what I've been watching. Glory, did you see Black Panther?
Of course I saw Black Panther.
You might be still processing as well, but what are your feelings? Yeah. What can you share with us?
And set us up for like who you saw it with and like what the whole vibe was.
I saw it with my partner. Okay. We went at 1 a.m. we went to at the Court Street Theater. There were so many. The theater was packed. It was like on Thursday night.
1 a.m.
Yes, 1 a.m. We were ready.
Brand new.
I was like, let's go. We have to see it immediately.
That was the first showing.
The first showing, yeah. Yeah,
so
I was super, super excited, and I was just like ready to like just dive all in. I am now a resident of Wakanda. I live there in my heart and my spirit. Vibranium is necessary for my existence. Everything about the film just made me feel, actually reminded me a lot of how I felt at Howard, just this complete like love for seeing black faces on the screen. Like, there's nothing like literally the whole cast. Mm-hmm. Like, you said it, Angela, Lupita, Chad, like, all these beautiful black faces. There's nothing like it. And then the characters that were, you know, the CIA agents, and, you know, they were, like, the white characters were just, like, they were on the side. You know, this is not a spoiler, but it is a really good one-liner that when the princess says, "Don't scare me, colonizer." Like, it's just so great. You guys won't know until you see it. But when you see that part, you will, like, die laughing because, like, there's just, like, all these moments where you just feel so proud. Like, you're proud, like, seeing the actors, seeing the energy, seeing the solidarity on screen. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. So I am a fan. I am a huge fan. And I think I'm going to get into cosplay because of it.
Cool. Because who are you going to dress as?
I
so many good outfits in this movie.
I don't know. I mean, can I be the Black Panther? Is that okay? Can I, like, just be Chad? I would be down.
Yes.
To, like, have a full black, like, suit, have the necklace, have the powers. I want to do that.
Mm.
You know? Or, I mean... I could carry a spear too and shave my head. I wouldn't mind that either.
You gotta get the head tattoo though.
I know. Oh, the head tattoo, yeah. That is kind of crucial to the whole look. that is kind of crucial. I would do that too. I love the movie. Like, I have no qualms about it. I know there's like more to be. There's a part of me that wants to be analytical, but I'm not there yet. I'm just gonna fangirl and I'm gonna scream on top of my lungs, like, Wakanda, take me there. And then I'll like step back. I actually, there's been a little bit of banter on Twitter about Killmonger, and his, you know, his viewpoint being problematic. And I'm just like, okay, I see it, but I also see like the parts where he was like striving for revolution that I'm like, I can get behind that. I also didn't like appreciate him like punching women, but
the punching women part.
I'm just like, we can cut that out. But like everything about like sharing resources and being, you know, working together and cultivating a community globally and thinking of like Africa as the diaspora in this whole collective way. Mm-hmm. That part, I like that was part of my vibe. I'm like, yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah. I think, you know, I found that so inspiring and energizing.
Yeah.
And talking to my friends who are Black folks about this film and what it means to them. But also I think, and this is, I think, a term called, where critics have talked about the universality of specificity. And for me, as a non-Black person of color, I'm still a minority woman. There's so much power in seeing this representation on screen.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That it speaks to me in a different way, you know?
Yeah, completely.
And that is super inspiring.
And there was a great piece in the New York Times about this, the group of students that went to go see it. And afterwards, like, just getting quotes from them. And they were like, yeah, I see myself, like, I can see myself, like, reshaping the future. I can see myself, you know, like, finding my destiny. And literally, these amazing, like, thoughts came from just watching this one film, right? Mm-hmm. They, like, saw themselves reflected in a way that was powerful. And I think, quite honestly, life-changing. Mm-hmm. And there might be some critics to that, but there is representation. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Whether you're seeing it in a film, you're reading it in a book, it does like change the dynamic of like who you think you can be, like the perception of it or the optics of things. It makes a difference, you know?
It really does.
I love the movie. As you can see, I'm super excited.
I think seeing it again is the move.
Oh, I've seen it twice already.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm working on the third.
Catch up.
You guys got
to catch up.
Get on the train, guys. Black Panther. Let's do it. It's revolution.
Yeah, hey, we should have an outing and go see it. Definitely do that.
Yeah.
Mimi on Team Food Book Fair, who's listening in with us, she's excited and giving us the thumbs up.
She's also seen it a couple times. We gotta catch up. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break because Heritage Radio Network is an amazing member-supported radio network that broadcasts more than 30 live shows out of the back of Roberta's Pizza here in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn, every single week. To support the programming that we do and many of our colleagues do, you can go to heritageradionetwork.org to check it out, become a member, and support our mission today. And then we're going to come back with Glory Adam from the book club, Well Read Black Girl, which is also an amazing live festival now. She knows a thing or two about creating and making space for folks, so we're going to talk a little bit more about the mission of Well Read Black Girl and where it's going, and talk about how this entity is dedicated to the phenomenal Black women on our bookshelves and how we can be reading more of their books in a minute.
Thank you. My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. You are listening to Recommended Reading with Food Book Fair on heritageradionetwork.org. We are joined in the studio today by Glory Edom, if you're just tuning in. And she is the founder of the book club and festival Well Read Black Girl. And we are so excited to have her on our show. And as I said, mentioned earlier, she's like one of the basically an ultimate recommender that we could not be more thrilled to have recommending to some stuff to us today. So without further ado, Glory.
Drum roll, please.
Welcome, first of all, if you're just tuning in. And let us know what you're recommending.
Okay, so right now I am really, really into poetry.
Exciting.
It is my lifeline. I've like transitioned into the world of freelancing and entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading a lot of business books. Mm-hmm. And when I need a pause from like the jargon of finance and algorithms and all those things, I pick up a book of poetry. So right now I'm really obsessed with Heart Talk by Cleo Wade. And it's poetic wisdom for a better life. And she really goes through these like simple phrases about truth, about wisdom, about how to really cultivate a more healthier aesthetic in life. And I've been really enjoying, she's well known on Instagram. She's what folks would call now an Instagram poet. But it just comes across super authentic and like you feel like you're talking to a friend. And it makes me feel just like really comfort and warm inside when I read her work. I'm actually going to read a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah. We love a live reading on Recommended Reading. Okay. Take it away.
So here's one part of her book. If you are grateful for where you are, you have to respect the road that got you there. Deep. It's just like really these simple like one line things. And she has like all these great quotes on her Instagram as well. So here's another one. When we overcome our fear of failing, we have the power to step into the magnificence of our resilience. Do the thing you're afraid to do. Do the things that feel big. Do the things that show you what you are made of. So, like, I can just be in any moment of my day and pick up this book and, like, kind of have this instant affirmation of I'm making the right choice. I'm on the right path, moving towards, like, this goal of creating this bigger community, creating a business where I never, to be quite honest, I really never, like, set out to do. I didn't know Well Read Black Girl would become my now full-time job. It was really a community-oriented, like, passion project. And now I'm really trying to put on my, like, big girl pants and be like, I can make this Oprah-esque, like, which is even me saying, like, the word Oprah out loud. Like, I, it's it's, like, really, I'm, like, trying to make it even bigger and make it better and help make it an entity that serves more people. And so I constantly have to, like, kind of refill the well and read things that help. Another book that I'm super excited about is called Black Girl Magic. It's a book of poetry. It's an anthology by, it's published by Haymarket, and it's edited by my friend Mahogany Brown, who did another book called Black Girl Magic, which was like a poem that she did on PBS. It became like, it's like almost a short illustrated poetry book. But this has like poetry from like Morgan Parker. Jamila Woods is also a poet and musician was one of the editors. Who else is in here? There's so many great people. Diamond Sharp, who's a wonderful friend. She's an editor at Rookie. Who else? Rio Cortez, who's so freaking amazing. There's just like so many great poems in this book that when I'm like, okay, I'm having a little moment where I need to just kind of like reset myself, I'll pick up a book of poetry to help me like just find words of solace, you know?
Yeah.
So those are two things that like are really on my mind. For our book club, We are now reading Morgan Juergens' book, This Will Be My Undoing. That's our February selection. And it's been a really heavy book, just looking at Black womanhood and what it means. It's very much her personal story and how she came into her own, you know, so she has like reflections of like girlhood experiences she had in high school, these like beautiful vignettes of like what she feels it is to be a Black woman in this like political landscape and the like the trauma that goes along with it. So we've been analyzing that book, and we're going to have her in discussion on February 24th. So I'm looking forward to that. And then our March book, which is coming up, is An American Marriage by Terrari Jones, which is also the Oprah book club pick, which I'd like
That's
to say.
That's a nice cosmic.
I'm like, I'm sure, you know, we had some good vibes. she saw me reading it and was like, you know what? Maybe I'll pick that too. I'll just put that out there. So that's another excellent book, which deals with a newly engaged couple. They're newlyweds, and suddenly the husband is wrongfully convicted, and the toll that takes on a marriage. And, you know, how much can a marriage withstand when there's something as, you know, tragic as, you know, conviction? Like, what do you do? Like, how can you be dedicated and committed to a person under such, like, just tragic circumstances? And it's done through these letters back and forth between the husband and wife, which I enjoyed so much, how she crafted the back and forth. So that's another amazing book. So everything I'm reading right now is just like a mix of either like affirmation or really getting like really lost and deep into a story where I'm just like, what happens next? What happens next? That's how I felt with Sari's book. I just kept like turning the page. Like, I really wanted to know the ending of everything immediately. Yeah. So I read the book probably like in 48 hours. I kind of like just tore through it. But
I love that feeling. Yeah. I haven't had that in a couple months. Oh. So I'm looking for
You got to pick it up, because there's a sense of urgency. They're just like, what happens? Like, do they make it, you know? So those are the four books that are kind of on my nightstand right now.
Cool. I love that. So at the base, at the core of Well-Read Black Girl is about bringing folks together around all these new emerging and sometimes established authors and finding inspiration and creativity and good conversation and questions to be asked around the work. But you're also, it's nice to see that you're drawing energy and strength from returning to books for you, and that's a continued thing for you.
Yeah, that is always my mantra. Like, I could not do the work that I'm doing without reading, with really like sitting down with the words and let them feed me in a way where I'm like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm making the right decision. And so many of the books that I read, I like reread a lot, you know, like I have like, you know, paragraphs that I circle and highlight and notes that I have in my journal, like page 86, go here, you know what I mean? Like that, I need that just like at the center of myself.
Yeah.
For me, it feels almost like an instruction manual in a lot of ways. Mm. Like, this is how to cope with this like challenge, or this is how to like help me celebrate this in this way. It's been really therapeutic, to be quite honest. Mm.
The books that you mentioned for February and March book club. Now, you're based here in New York.
Yes, Brooklyn.
Yeah. How? Talk to us a little bit about, you have live book clubs as part of Well-Read Black Girl, but you also have an online community. You've had a huge festival. So how can people participate in the book club? Like, let's get into how that's set up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So like you said, we're based here in Brooklyn. So the best way is to actually come to participate in person. Okay. Just because I feel like in real life, connections are so more enriching. So if you're based here, we have the book club meetings the last Saturday of every month at New Woman's Space over in Williamsburg. It's a woman-centered space that really draws on the energy of women working in Brooklyn and helping them like really achieve their goals. So there's a lot of different like cooperatives that work out of that space. So I'm just I love like Sandy, Melissa, shout out to them. They're incredible like co-founders, and they really live like they walk the walk. They really want to help women just like achieve their goals. So I am a resident there. So anyway, last Saturday every month. And we tend to always have the author present so you can ask them questions. You can talk about their creative process, like what, you know, inspired characters, really get into the nitty gritty of the book. And what I've started to do is live stream those conversations. So even if you aren't based in Brooklyn, you can go on our Facebook page and watch the live stream there. Mm-hmm. And then post your questions, interact with the audience, engage with the actual book club or book club members.
I like book clubbers. Too. That sounds book fun. Clubbers, that sounds yeah. really fun.
We have our little glow sticks. So that's another way you can also participate is like through the live stream. Mm-hmm. And then we also have our Facebook and our Instagram and our Twitter. And on those spaces, we have conversations about the book either through Twitter chats or simply like sharing quotes from the book and mm-hmm. photos and trying to get people to like share their feelings. Like, how do this like paragraph make you feel? Are there certain chapters that really resonate with you? And just like spark conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's a more informal like back and forth when it comes to like Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm,
right.
But the actual book club meeting is the focus. Cause I think so much of our lives are lived on social media yeah. that mm-hmm. it's great to have time to like come together in real.
Totally.
And then a lot of our conversations spin off into other things.
Yeah.
Like I cannot wait for the book club with Morgan's book this month. Like I think there's going to be a lot to unpack and really talk about, what this title, you know, this will be my undoing, you mm-hmm. know, like there has been so much energy around her personal narrative. And I'd like us to just like dialogue more yep. about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love a live event.
Yes, we do.
We love a real life event. I think for those folks that are fortunate to be in Brooklyn that can join you, that's super amazing. And I think also it must be so energizing for people that can't come here but can still join you online yeah. in some way.
Yeah.
And obviously the many folks that follow you on social media feel that way. And also there was such a great response when you ran a Kickstarter campaign in order to start your festival.
Yeah.
Something, so clearly yeah. you're onto something.
It's growing. It's been such a like a beautiful manifestation. Like I really never imagined that it would grow this quickly over the last like 3 years mm-hmm. and that the festival was really the pinnacle of everything mm-hmm. and we're doing another one
Yay.
This year. So 2018, look out for the festival. We're going to be doing it in mid-October.
Awesome.
So a little bit later than last year. We found that in September, it was really busy. We had, you know, Brooklyn Book Festival and yeah. the Slice Conference. There were so many things happening in September. So we're going to give ourselves a little bit more breathing room and have it in October this mm-hmm. year. But I'm looking at the building a programming schedule now. I'm looking to do some, maybe some films.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're looking to like just kind of add new like highlights. We had a music portion last year, but we're going to like expand mm-hmm. that a little bit more. We're going to have more tabling. We're going to have more booths and literary magazines. It's just going to be bigger and even better. Mm-hmm. So I have a steering committee that I've put together and we're just like kind of putting all the ideas out there. And of course, like raising money for everything too. And like locking in a venue, like all the logistical things are happening now, mm-hmm. but it's coming. It's coming soon.
That's super exciting.
Thanks.
When did you have your Oprah moment where you realized this would become right. something bigger?
I think it was like over the holidays in December. Like I was at home and I was like talking to my mom about just like, you know, what I wanted to do in the next 5 years. Like mm-hmm. where did I see myself? Where did I see Well Read Black Girl growing? And she offered us some encouraging advice and just, you know, told me it's like bet on myself. She was like, you've been doing this like nonstop with a full-time job, imagine what you can do without one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a really like simple statement, but it was like, yeah, you're right. Like I can go out and do this. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if it doesn't go the direction I want it to, I can always get another job. Mm-hmm. But the reality is I have this time, I have this like amazing momentum and I have so many people that believe in me mm-hmm. and that are encouraging me and giving me support and advice and guidance. Like, why not? Like, why not mm-hmm. go out there, step out on faith and see what can happen?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am. I'm really just like dedicating all my time and energy to see how I can grow and be of service to others.
Mm-hmm.
as long as I do, and as long as I'm like happy doing it too.
Yeah.
Like there is so much joy that like I get even in the challenging parts. I'm just like, I'm working for myself. I'm doing this on my own. It does feel really rewarding. And it makes me feel like I can do anything, you know, like I do feel really empowered to continue making this my livelihood and putting all my energy into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see, ladies.
Fingers crossed.
We're rooting for you.
Yay. I appreciate that. That feels good. Thank you.
Of course. Walking back to, was there like a time when you had the first Well-Read Black Girl book club?
Yeah.
And thinking about that moment to where you are now, you had a festival, you're already planning for your next one. Like, what were the feelings going into the first one, and how did you bring the idea really from an idea and make it happen? Like, I think there's so much, you know, to be said about really just having an idea in your head and then having the wherewithal and having the motivation to actually make it happen. And what was your process through that?
Yeah, I would say, well, the first event we did was in Brooklyn with Naomi Jackson. And I talk about Naomi all the time because without her just simply saying yes, mm-hmm. when I invited her to the book club, I don't think I would have done it. Like mm-hmm. she, I was at Greenlight. She signed my book. I told her I had this book club. I showed her the Instagram that at the time probably had 100 followers, you know?
And this was just a book club that you had with your friends or colleagues or?
Okay. I knew everyone that like sat down. Mm-hmm. It was very, very small. And, I started the Instagram and I did the newsletter, but initially it was like an email I just like sent to my friends and family.
Okay.
And I was like, I have this idea, you know, I want to start a book club. I would like for you guys to participate. Really, really simple. So when I approached Naomi and asked her to, you know, join us in the conversation, I did not expect her to say yes. I don't know what, like, I just was like, maybe, you know, she's a writer. She's so famous. This book is amazing. You know, like I didn't think she would say yes, but she did. And then when she walked in and had a conversation with us, she was so gracious and so warm. And she made everyone there, not only just me, like she made everyone feel like they mattered, and she made us feel so valued, and she really appreciated us just reading her book. And her reaction and her just like genuine like spirit just made me feel like, okay, like if she feels this way, I'm sure there's so many other new debut authors that will feel the same way and need that same kind of support. And I'm going to read the book anyway. Like, I'm going to read this. Like, why not, like, have an opportunity to really fangirl and, like, support them and show them that, you know, we're here to buy your books. We're here to, like, spark a conversation. And you're not alone, you know? Mm-hmm. So from there, from her saying yes, it just inspired me and pumped me up to be like, okay, I can ask more people. And I can, like, talk to publishers, and I could, you know, reach out to a publicist. I can just take the initiative and ask the questions. And at the end of the day, some people will say yes and some people will say no. More people said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just continued to grow. The one thing I will say is I do have a habit of just kind of like getting it out there and doing the thing. Like, I don't really wait until something looks like quote unquote perfect. I really just like, we'll just do it. Like, I think sometimes people get stuck in the process and like the, you know, the branding has to be perfect or like they get caught up in just like the building and then they don't ever get it out there. And I am one of like, okay, this, like after I like do maybe 3 revisions, I'm like, okay, I'm pressing send because I have to like, but just put it out in the world. So and you can even see that as I've grown, like my Instagram has definitely changed, like the filters I use, the comments, everything's always like changing, the how I framed the newsletter compared to the first time I did it. The first time I did it was probably like a paragraph and I had like 2 or 3 links and it had a little bit of a different tone compared to now where there's more of a structure. So I just kind of like move through it and I continuously iterate and change my ideas. And then even when, and then I listen to my community too. I definitely like take feedback when people are like, well, I really love this. When you like mentioned this book and how you framed it in this way, I'm like, okay, cool. Like I make note of how people are engaging and like, you know, the authors. One thing the main feedback I got last year was about the genre of books. Like people wanted to see us reading more science fiction. They wanted to try out maybe some poetry. Mm-hmm. And I I really love historical fiction. Mm-hmm. So I found like most of myself was leaning towards that. So I was like, okay, like let me like add a science fiction book. So we ended up doing River Solomon's book, An Unkindness of Ghosts, which is on Akashic. And it was excellent. It was such a magnificent book. I loved working with Rivers. And then for the poetry book, we did Eve's book, Electric Arches. Yeah.
That's been on my list for a long time.
It's so great. I probably gave that book to maybe like 7 different people as gifts. Like it was like Christmas, birthday, I love that book so much. And it's because it's a mix of poetry and also like short stories and prose. Like it's so, so good. There's illustrations in it. And you can be any age and enjoy it. You can be like 14 mm-hmm. to 35. Like it's such a brilliant book. So things like that. I was like, okay, like we want different styles. I did a nonfiction book. I did Alexis's book. She's a writer for The New Yorker. She did A Moonless Sky, Starless Night. And yeah, so I was like, okay, let's like try different styles. Let's see. And this year I'm going to continue to do that. I'm hoping to do a play in the fall, like read we could like read a play, like why not, you know, there's so many great plays and that inspired me after I saw Sweat by Lynn Nottage last year. I was like, we should read a play, we should read Ruined, you know, which is another Lynn Nottage play. Things like that. I'm just kind of always like looking outward and seeing like what people, what like gets, you know, what's what gets them. Yeah. I'm doing a snap.
Yeah. Super cool to have Lynn Nottage.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love her.
She's a certified genius. She's in my car.
Love her.
She's amazing.
Like there's no words. There's some, I love so many people, but yeah, Lynn is up there like in the top five. Mm-hmm. Like she's so brilliant and her work and just like her energy. Same thing with Susie Laurie Parks. Like, mm-hmm. They are brilliant, brilliant women, just brilliant. But if I was to give any advice, I'm just do it. Right. Don't overthink it. Don't overanalyze it. Just do it. And when you get feedback, you know, listen to it. See what feedback is actually valuable.
Yeah.
You know, because not everything is always valuable. And then be discerning and then like continue to grow and try. And before I did... Well, I'm really happy while Red Black Girl exists in the world, but there were plenty of other like projects I did, you know, prior to this that did not, you know, take up and become viral and get all these follow-up. But I enjoyed those things just as much.
Can you tell us what some of those were?
Oh, yeah. I had I used to do this thing called the Paper Collective with my friend Elizabeth, mm-hmm. who's an incredible illustrator. We were based in DC at the time, and we would host little drink and draws at bars, mm-hmm. and you would literally just come and like draw. And we did a sketch crawl in DC where we went to all these different monuments and like drew things. Like we drew the actual monument, and then we went to like the sculpture garden, and like it was just like a fun little thing that we did together. But it grew, you know, it grew. A lot of different illustrators would come, and writers, mm-hmm. and some people ended up like creating like literary journals and zines together.
Yeah.
And we probably did that for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we made like little fun videos, and we had at the time. I don't think we did a Twitter at the time because that wasn't like the thing, but it was a Tumblr. Mm-hmm. We did a Tumblr, and people would submit things. That was called the Paper Collective. And then what else? Oh, I did this thing. It was inspired by text messages from last night, where it was called, I Hate My 9-to-5, where like I would collect all these like different like horror stories of people who just like absolutely hated their jobs. So I had like a little website, and people would like anonymously like submit things about like their like job horror stories. And it was just like a thing that I did, but I used to go on the text message mm-hmm. from last night website all the time. And I'm like, this would be so funny if, like if it was like work related. And I did that for a while too. I ended up actually going to like this meme conference with oh my gosh. What year was that? But it was like it was all inspired by that. Like I went to it was called Ralph Kahn. Do you remember that?
You heard of that? Ralph Kahn. I went to Ralph Kahn.
Yeah, I went. I was just like, oh, this is cool.
But is that how you pronounce that?
I think it's like Ralph. It's like
Ralphel?
I don't know.
Rolling on the floor laughing?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what? Okay,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, it's like R-O-L-F.
No one uses that anymore, though, really.
Rolling on the floor laughing?
Yeah. It's kind of like had its day, I think.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
But
they had a con.
They did. And I went to it.
You did the thing.
I went with my friends Darren and Kirk. like it was just so random. Like it was so random. But when I see things that I really like, I take interest in, I go all the way in. You know, I'm just like, I'll go to the conference and I'll read the book and I'll like, I like to go into like a whole rabbit hole of like a million YouTube videos and even like, even with the Well-Read Black Girl Instagram page now, like if you look at it, it is like literally a rabbit hole of Black literary excellence. Like you will not just like find these authors on just like one Google search. You got to go deep, you know, like you really have to know the work and appreciate it and value it to know. And that's what I love about it, because the main thing about the platform is about discovery. Like you might not know who this author is, but I hope this sparks you to go buy their book, check out their backlist, you know, show them love, whether it's a tweet or, you know, writing them a review on Goodreads, going out to an independent bookstore, buying their book. Like if it sparks some action, I'm for that. I'm really for that. So yeah, that's me, guys.
Amazing. Is well, you said a little bit that you didn't realize that this would necessarily go viral.
Right.
But did you feel that it would satisfy an urge, or that you would find a community greater than you and your friends? Because I remember when I first encountered, I'm sure you got the story from a lot of people. Like, I remember when I first encountered Well-Read Black Girl. And again, speaking to what I was saying earlier about universality of specificity, seeing all of this Black literary excellence and so being introduced to all of these Black women authors, it opened my mind so much and made me feel so inspired.
Yeah, I knew how it made me feel, right? Like I knew that I constantly seek out affirmation from the words of Toni Morrison, from Alice Walker, from Toni Cade Mabara. Like all these women feed me my soul in such a powerful way that I knew that people would be able to relate to it. There was like no question about that. I just was very baffled that it did not exist already. You know, so it's just like, did this not exist already? Was there not a space for us to come together and really just like uplift and amplify these voices? That is what I was taken back by, not by the just like sheer inspiration and just the joy that it brought other people, but how did this not exist? You know, and I think and same thing, like how we're reacting to Black Panther. Like, how does this not exist already?
Bringing it back full circle.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Because it's, we shouldn't have to fight for space. It shouldn't be such a surprise that so many people are just taken back by the Black literature. No, that should not be the case. But unfortunately, it is. And I'm glad to have a platform to really push forward and introduce a new innovative way for publishing to understand, like, there is a community, there are people buying these books, and it should not be neglected. It should be made a priority, because again and again, we're proving in box offices, we're proving on the New York Times bestseller list that these things have value. Like, we know that. We've known that from day one. But if we need to convince anyone else, here's the proof, you know? Like, you can come to my Instagram or my website or any like thing that I'm working on and see that people come, you know, to the point where I was talking to Tari Jones and she was like, you know, she said, I was signing so many books, Well-Read Black Girl. Like, she literally was signing that in books, you know? So like, people show up, it's because they love her, they love her work, but they also value being in a collective community where they can see themselves reflected and know that their voice is going to be number one. It's going to be made priority. It's not secondary, you know? And I'm in our conversations, and anytime we have a book club, Black voices are centered. And that doesn't happen, you know, doesn't happen too often. And I'm hoping to change that. I really do. I'm coming to a space where I'm feeling like I see my vision way more clear. Like, I know my mission is to really help amplify the voices of Black women. And that's across industries, where whether it's publishing or film or music, I want people to be able to say, like, okay, I have this platform where we can be seen and heard and supported fully. And support comes in so many different ways. Like, I want to stress just, like, economically, we need to, like, buy these books and watch these films. It makes a difference. So I'm really, and that's why I went and quit my job. And now I'm doing this full time, because I want to be an advocate for Black women always. So, yeah.
So excited to see what you're doing now that you're betting 110% on yourself.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your mission and your vision and a little inside look at Well-Read Black Girl.
Thank you.
And how it all started. And we can't wait to see where it goes.
This has been so much fun. This is great. Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for joining us. Can't wait to get into your list of what you've been reading as well.
Yeah. And where can everyone find you? What's the best way to get in touch and join your community?
Yeah, the best way is to visit us on Facebook. Slash Well Read Black Girls with the S at the end. And on Instagram, it's Well Read Black Girl. And on Twitter, it's Well Read BLK Girl. So, yeah, follow us on all the social media. We also have a website, wellreadblackgirl.com. It is under construction. So, new website will be coming March 15th.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, lots of new things are going to be popping off on March 15th. So, we're going to have like a new website. We're going to have some new things happening. We're doing more editorial this year.
Awesome.
Some great interviews with authors, including the author of Heart Talk, Cleo Wade. So
can't wait for that.
Yeah. It'll be really great.
Keep our eyes peeled.
We will keep our eyes peeled, and you can also see some of the existing author interviews, some other picks from past book club meetings on wellreadblackgirl.com as well.
Thanks for joining us, Glory.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Internet Radio, we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Recommended reading is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.
Ever wonder what kind of podcast Julia Child would have made? Probably would have been one where she introduced you to all of her latest discoveries and favorite people. And that's exactly the tradition we're following on Inside Julia's Kitchen, the podcast of the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. Join me, Todd Shulkin, your host, and the Foundation's Executive Director, as I bring you inside the Foundation's world to meet the bright lights of today's food universe, just as Julia used to do from her own famous kitchen. New episodes air on Heritage Radio Network, Wednesdays at noon Eastern. Listen in.